Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin our two-part message from Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, titled, Bewitched. And before going to our message, we want to share another letter we love from a sister named Sharon. Sharon writes, Dear Pastor Greg, I just wanted to tell you that I enjoy your down-to-earth Bible teaching. When I listen to you, I get out my wide-margin Bible that I bought from Bearing Precious Seed, as I like to follow along and make references that I will go back later to check out. I appreciate your sticking with book studies and pure expository studies. And that's where we'll end. She included some questions that we have responded to, and we would like to thank Sharon and all of our listeners who take time to write words of encouragement. And although we do not solicit donations, as we believe the Lord will lead us, lead those to support us as he sees our needs. Our motto is, where God guides, God provides. So you'll never hear us on here begging for money, like those so-called spirit-filled ministries do. But we do want to take time to show our thanks to those who have sent in gifts to this ministry to help keep this ministry on the radio and to help us in our other outreach ministries. We would encourage you to write to us at P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085, or to send us your email at bbbfohio@yahoo.com. That is bbbfohio. And we have three B's in that because it's Bible Believers Baptist Fellowship, Ohio, bbbfohio@yahoo.com. Or you can just go to bbfohio.com, which is BibleBelieversFellowshipOhio.com, and send us a message there. And again, we don't want to sound ungrateful or unthankful at all for your gifts to this ministry. We just don't want to make that a point of emphasis, because while we thank you, we do rely completely on the Lord Jesus Christ and His provision. So God bless you. And now,
we're going to be in Galatians chapter 3. And we'll read the first three verses. We've been going verse by verse through the epistle of Paul to the church in Galatia, and dealing largely with, first of all, Paul's authority to speak on these matters. Second of all, the gospel apart from good works. And underlying that, as it's kind of a major issue in this epistle, is that the church in Galatia started out right, but has had somebody come in and lead them astray on the doctrine of salvation, and they've added the idea of having to work and do works in order to be saved. And we say this over and over, we do not work to be saved, we do good works because we are saved.
Amen.
And if you get that mixed up, you have a false gospel. And it would be like taking the old Amish horse and buggy and putting the buggy in front of the horse. It won't work like that. And the horse will really think there's something wrong with you. But that's what people do when they take the simple gospel and mix it up, mess it up. So let's go ahead and start by reading these first three verses in Galatians chapter 3. Read those with me. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Just, Mariah, can you go back and make sure that thing is on? We won't have anything to upload if it's not. But how would you feel if when I addressed you as a group, and I just look at you and basically call you, you bunch of fools. Only Mr. T can get by with that. How many of you are old enough to know what I just said? Oh, well. You didn't laugh, so I was just asking. You
know? I pity the fool.
How's that? I come from a kind of a... that was my phone. That's, I come from a... what you'd call a fundamental Baptist background. And when I was younger, they would have these evangelists come in. And they could preach really hard, you know, and really kind of trounce on some toes. But I'd never been to anything like I have. Jenny has been with me, where we've gone and visited churches. And man, they just get up there and rip you to shreds. And that's their ministry. Wouldn't you like to have that? I mean, sometimes it would be, you know, he just stands up there and just, I mean, just calls you everything in the book, that, you know, not cussing, but, and he's just sitting there, and it's just, have you ever, some of you ever been there? You ever been in those situations? Well, Paul isn't just doing this, isn't just saying these words to try to get a response. Paul is saying these things because they are true. And I want to tell you something. You'll be accused of calling people names even when you're telling or saying something that's absolutely true. And you shouldn't care. But on the other hand, you shouldn't just call people names. Amen?
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? For example, this past week, somebody was saying something and they kept saying it. And I kept saying, no, that's not... I said, you don't understand. People are going to think you're stupid if you keep saying this because it's not true. But they just would not look at what they were saying and think critically. Now, there are other times where I have looked at people and I've said, you know what? You are a fool. One particular instance, a man was ready to leave his wife and he just didn't have any good reason to do it. She had not committed adultery. She had not done anything worthy of divorce. She was a, you know, he even told me she's a wonderful person. She's, you know, normal human things, but we don't have any trouble living together. But he was just tired and ready to move on. And I looked at him eyeball to eyeball and said, you know what? You're a fool. And where you're going is going to get ugly. Now, in Christianity, we don't believe in karma. What we believe in is what the Bible says is you reap what you sow. Karma involves the idea of previous lives and all that sort of thing. We don't believe in that. But we do believe, and I do believe, that whenever you know the truth, but something spiritually inside of you causes you to just want to do the opposite, it's going to get ugly. And that's what's happening here in the Church of Galatia on the matter of salvation. Now, you saw the word in verse 1. He said, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Now, how many of you, when you think of bewitched, you think of that? Did that come to mind when you read this? Or did? Yeah. See, when I read this text, that comes to mind. And I'm like, because... It, growing up, the only time I ever heard the word bewitched used was on this TV show. How many of you have ever heard anybody use the word bewitched outside of that? But then they'll say that you're, well, that King James Bible's outdated. And I'm like, no, I grew up watching a TV show of that. It was called Bewitched. So you kind of understand what the word means if you know what the show's about, because the show is, it's kind of supposed to be cute, supposed to be funny. And it's, you know, a beautiful witch. Men, don't act like you don't think that that was a good-looking witch. I watched that show growing up for one reason, and that was because of the witch. She's pretty. Now, I'm just... Now, don't look mad at me because you're not honest enough to say that. I'm just being honest. Why else would a guy watch that show? And then you find out it's funny, and you're glad you watched it too, but... Now, that's how God is dealing with us on that level, even though he didn't necessarily have that show. That, in mind, that show is a good example. It's, if you step back from that show, even though it's funny, and there was cute moments and all that. It was taking something that God says is wicked and dressing it up and making it acceptable. Now, you going to go to hell for watching that? No. But is that our standard? I bring that up because a lot of Christians, that's how they live. If it won't send me to hell, then it's okay. You met people like that? You ever had that attitude yourself? It's a bad attitude. You don't judge your actions by what will send you to heaven or hell, because we know we're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. So the truth is, you could do a lot of things that won't send you to hell that are not good for you and not good for your walk with the Lord. And witchcraft is not cute, no matter how cute Hollywood tries to make it. And I'm out of touch with Hollywood, to be honest with you. I mean, I know somewhat's going on, but I'm amazed at how much I don't know is going on. And the amount of witchcraft and everything that is in Hollywood. And I'm telling you that it does affect you if you spend your time in that kind of entertainment. I think the last big one that, you know, I really paid a lot of attention to was the Harry Potter thing. And people would say, well, it ain't like it's going to send you to hell if you buy all the books and read them. No, it's not. But promoting that, and even the schools, they want kids to read, as though reading itself is a wonderful end. No, reading is a means to an end. So if what you're reading is spiritual, like a spiritual cancer, then it's not good for you. But if you're reading good stuff, reading is good. And they just said, oh, I'm just glad the kids are reading something. No, you want them to read something that is beneficial, something that can help their vocabulary, something that, even if it's fictional, it should put their minds in a good place and not in a bad place. And just as a reminder, and it's going to come, this is Paul, you say, well, Paul's not talking about witches in this text. He's talking about how Satan takes the false and he dresses it up. That's what it means to be bewitched. If you see something that is false, but he is able to dress it up and pull you in, then you've been bewitched. And there's a reason why things like this in the kingdom, not today, not now. What was wrong with the Winston, the Salem witch trials? What was wrong with it is we are not told in this day and age to do this. But during the kingdom age, when Israel was under the Mosaic covenant, and they had a temple in Jerusalem, and the tabernacle before that, and they were offering blood sacrifices looking forward to the coming of Messiah, and all that, during that time, in Exodus 22:18, they are told, "Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live." Now, why don't we go out and kill witches today? Why not at the Salem witch trials? Why don't we defend that and say, oh, that was a good thing? Because we're not in that dispensation. And I'll say this again. You either understand the dispensations or you'll never understand the Bible.
Amen.
And I'm constantly talking to Christians who don't understand the Bible. And the reason is because they don't respect the differences. There are different things. We've told this before. During the time in the garden, Adam and Eve was told, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. How many of you go through your week avoiding the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? It's because you don't live in that dispensation. Now, Noah was told, build an ark. How many of you are trying to get a loan from the bank to buy the supplies to build your own ark? You might want a yacht, but that's not the idea. That you are not told to do that. You don't live in that dispensation. See what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Now, how many of you as a family have set aside some money so that you can buy a lamb that is spotless that you can take to a priest and have them slice its throat and offer it as a blood sacrifice for your sins? Anybody doing that?
No.
No. Because you don't live in this time. So no more should you take a lamb and offer it for your sins should you be killing witches today. No witch killing.
Amen.
But if you lived during that time under that covenant, then it would have been law. Yes, Dan. Amen. And I always think of this. You still think this is cute? I have friends who have dressed their little kids up in witch outfits at Halloween or whatever, and I'm not condemning them, but I am telling you, I don't see it as cute. I just think there are some things that's just not cute. And witchcraft should never be made to look cute. Amen. It's not cute. Now, God destroys nations which practice witchcraft. In Deuteronomy 18:10, he said, "There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire." And that would be comparable to abortion. Yep. Or that useth divination, or an observer of times, that's basically astrology, or an enchanter, and that's kind of using formulas and that sort of thing to try to incantate. Incantation, you see that? Incant. It's using, huh?
Shaf is the word to sing.
Yeah, and by using that. And then and it says, or a witch, and you continue verse 11, 12, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, that's kind of like the psychic, or a wizard, or a necromancer, and that's someone who's contacting the dead and practicing seances. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And be, now this is, watch this, this is the United States of America, sadly. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Israel came into a land that was possessed by people who did all these things. And there's a time where God told the children of Israel not to go in yet because their iniquity wasn't full in Canaan yet. But when they came to a full measure of iniquity, they got moved out. Now I'm here to tell you, like it or not, America can see what's going to happen to America if we just look at Europe. Europe is being taken over by foreign immigration. And it is happening because Europe has left God. Yeah. Europe and their apostate churches have totally left the God of the Bible. In the like Anglican churches and Lutheran churches and the Catholic churches and all these Christian or pseudo-Christian churches all over Europe, they have their priests and their preachers do not even believe in God. They've done the polls and asked them. They don't even believe in God. They're there because it's a career choice. And it gives them prestige in the community. It allows them to travel. They have a great retirement plan. And that's why they do it. And that's happening in America now. Yeah. When I first got into the ministry, I went to ministerial conferences. And I talked to men who flat out would tell me that they went into the ministry because of the hours and the pay and the benefits. And they didn't love the Word of God. They didn't really love people. They didn't have any reason other than the package deal to go into the ministry. Now, why is that happening? Because the people. Don't blame the preachers and the priests. The people, by and large, are going into this. And if you don't believe it, just get on Facebook, set up an account, get a bunch of and just float through the journey. You're saved, but now it's time to grow. You are saved, you're born again, you're a baby. Spiritually, you're an infant. Amen. And so many people get saved and they don't learn the basics even of the Bible, and they want to act like they're a big man. You know how silly it looks? It's funny and it's cute, but it's silly when you see a little baby grab the keys from daddy and then try to start the car. And like he's going to drive away. And it's cute when it's a baby. But you know how foolish it looks whenever a grown man, let's say a grown man goes and puts on a diaper and then walks out to the car and sits down and starts the car to drive off. That's not really cute. It may be in a comedy situation, be funny, but it's not. It wouldn't be cute if the men around here were still in diapers. It's not cute when a grown person acts like an infant, and it's not healthy or cute when a baby or a young child tries to do things that only adults should do. Don't touch the stove. Why do we tell babies that? Because they're not ready for that. They're not ready to deal with that. But when babies do, they get too close to the stove, they'll pull. We've had prayer requests for folks pulled the boiling water over on themselves or touched the burner and got burns in their hands. That's what happens when you as a Christian get saved and you're still a spiritual infant, but you try to act like the big man, act like you already know everything. And that's what happened to the church in Galatia. They had been saved by the true gospel, but then they turned around and started acting like they knew it all. They didn't need Paul anymore, and they would listen to anybody, and the next thing you know, they've been bewitched. And that's what Paul's dealing with here. They've been fooled. And it's happening today at an alarming rate. Grace is defined in terms of works. Satan has realized that if he's going to dupe people like you who are professing Christians who believe the gospel of grace, the only way for him to dupe you is to use language the way he did in Genesis 3. And you go back to Genesis 3 and the conversation the serpent had with Eve and the way he twisted the language, changed a word here and a word there, contradicting God, changing the Word of God, adding to the Word of God, subtracting from the Word of God, but so subtle that it still sounded so similar that Eve was duped. And that's what's happening today. And it used to be, for example, when I would talk to people who were of the Roman Catholic background and they were trying to defend the Catholic Church doctrine of salvation, they would defend the idea that you had to work. You had to work in order to be saved. But they've realized over the years, it's taken them about 400 years to realize, they're not going to ever pull Protestants who are truly saved into the Catholic Church by preaching that way. So now what they've started to do, and their apologists, the defenders of the Catholic faith are starting to do, is they're presenting it in very well-dressed terminology. And they'll say, no, you don't understand. We receive grace through the sacraments, and that then produces works in us. And then that is how we are justified by works. You see, what they try to dress it up so it's no longer just admitting, I'm trying to work so that I can get into heaven. And that's what they're trying to do. But they have learned to speak the language and say, no, actually, it's not of us, though. See, we receive the grace to do the works through the sacraments. And that then produces works, and that's how we're justified by works. Now, a lot of the baby Christians, the spiritual infants among Christianity, they don't know how to peel back the layers of the onion to get to the kernel truth of what's being said. And it happens with the Mormons. The Mormon will send out the missionaries and they go to the door and knock on the door and you'll talk to them. You say, well, thinking you know what Mormons believe. And you say, well, I believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world. They go, oh, I believe that too. Well, I believe you're saved by faith in the gospel. Oh, I believe that too. Well, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. Well, I believe that too. And so then people are like, well, wow. So maybe I will come out sometime. And you know, and they go and they visit and everyone's so nice. And they talk about Jesus and everybody gets along. Wow, this is great. And then one thing after another, they get you and they just keep pulling you in and pulling you in. And it's not till way down the line that they get out the magic underwear. It's way down the road before they talk about needing to be married in the temple to become your own God. And you women get to give birth to children to the God throughout eternity. And it's way down the road before they tell you that Joseph Smith came and the entire Christian church was in apostasy and he restored the church. And only through Joseph Smith and the Book of Mormon. They don't tell you that when they knock on the door, do they? And when they say, oh, we believe Jesus is the Son of God, what you stop and you say, can you define what you mean by that? You won't get the biblical answer if they answer the question. Most of them are trained not to answer the question because they know you'll, what?
Oh, yes. Heavenly Father is on a planet next to the star Kolob. And he has children. And he had a council about how to save us earthlings. And Satan, or Lucifer, and Jesus had ideas. And Heavenly Father liked Jesus' idea better than Lucifer's. And that's how he became our Savior. And on it goes. You won't get that when they come to the door. So you have to ask them to define their terms. You believe you're saved by faith in the gospel? Oh, yes. But see, what they mean is that you're saved by faith in the gospel, which isn't our gospel, and their gospel is works. And that you do what you're supposed to do. You go to the ward on a regular basis. You tithe faithfully. You go through all the works. You go through the temple. You do all that stuff. And then you'll go to one of several levels of heaven. See, now I could go through one religion after another. The Jehovah's Witnesses have their version, even the Seventh-day Adventists. I can tell you how they use our words, but they don't mean the same thing. Amen. And a lot of the people in those churches this morning are only there because they were bewitched. They were spiritually fooled. And that's what Paul is dealing with here. What Paul is dealing with here is very similar to what we call today the Hebrew Roots Movement, or the Messianic Jewish Movement. That's very similar to what he's dealing with here, is that they're trying to tell people you're saved by faith, but you also need to be circumcised, and you need to do the works of the law. You need to go to the temple and still do all these things. They didn't start that way, but they've been duped. Now it leads to a logical absurdity that Paul confronts with such people in verse 2. Now read that, verse 2 with me. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? It should be so easy. How did you get saved in the first place? Did you do something? No, I believe the gospel. Then if you're saved by not doing something but believing the gospel, how is it you think that you now need to do something in order to eventually be saved or to stay saved? You were saved in the first place by believing the gospel. Repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance, what's that mean? It means you understand what you are. All your works, even the good ones, you understand, are as filthy rags. You cannot save yourself. You are lost. That's the first thing you have to understand before you can be saved. The reason why a lot of people will never be saved is because they won't humble themselves and admit, I am a sinner. I do need help. I cannot save myself. I actually can't do anything to help save myself. And until you reach that point, you can't be saved. But then when you reach that point, repentance, changing your mind and turning your face toward the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, and completely trusting in Him alone. What He did on the cross and His empty tomb, that alone saves me. So we got a lot of people, sadly. And this is the thing is, I've never been called to look at people and say, you're saved, you're not, you're saved, you're not. That's not my job, but it's not even something I have the skills for. Amen? All I can do is tell you the truth, and only you and God know the answer to this question. Only you and God know whether you've ever come to Him and said, you know, I cannot save myself. And I need to be saved. Only you know that. People can come in here and come here for years and hang out with us and sing the hymns and open your Bible and go through. That doesn't mean you're saved. And that's what's happened in the Galatian church. I believe there's a bunch of people there who aren't saved. But Paul isn't going to point them out because Paul's not the Holy Spirit. So what's he going to do? He's going to warn them all.